and it looks like poisoning again. And how things have moved on since then.
You are Eleanor Catherine Carlyle?
I am.
I have here a warrant for your arrest upon the charge of murdering Mary Gerard by administering poison to her on the 27th of July last. And I must warn you that anything you say will be taken down in writing and may be used in evidence against you.
We present Agatha Christie's Sad Cypress, with John Moffat as Hercule Poirot, Emma Fielding as Eleanor Carlyle, and David McAllister as Dr. Lord.
Come. Come away. Come away, death. And in sad cypress let me blade. Fly, fly away, breath. I am slain by a fair, cruel maid.
The beautiful young Mary Gerard has been poisoned. There is about to be an arrest, which prompts Dr. Lord to call upon the services of Hercule Poirot.
She's been arrested and she's going to be put on trial for murder, Monsieur Poirot. I want you to find evidence that will prove she didn't do
now,
it.
Now, just a moment, my friend. Not so fast. Who has been arrested? Who is going to be tried for murder?
A young woman named Eleanor Carlyle.
And why have you come to see me, Dr. Lord?
I heard about you from a friend, Edward Stillingfleet.
Ah, the good Mr. Stillingfleet.
He told me what you did in the Benedict Farley case. How every mortal soul thought it was suicide and how you showed it was murder.
And now you wish me to achieve the opposite, hmm? To prove that this murder was in fact suicide.
I don't care what you prove. I just want you to get her off.
Tell me, Dr. Lord, you and this young lady, you are in love with one another? Hmm? You are affianced, perhaps?
No such luck, I'm afraid. Eleanor's in love with a long-nosed, supercilious ass. Damn bad taste and totally absurd, but there it is. I fell in love with her the moment I saw her. It's an old romantic cliché, but it's true. She's never given me a second thought. I love her, and I don't want her to be hanged. It's as simple as that.
What is the exact charge against her?
She's accused of murdering a girl called Mary Gerard by poisoning her with morphine hydrochloride. Haven't you read about it? It's been in all the papers.
And what is supposed to be the motive?
Jealousy.
And in your opinion, she did not do it?
No, of course not. She's not capable of it.
Almost everyone is capable of murder. It is the one crime for which you need no expertise. Now, what is it exactly that you want me to do?
I've told you. I want you to get her off.
I am not a defending counsel, my friend.
I'll put it more clearly. I want you to find evidence that will enable her counsel to get her off.
You put this a little curiously.
It seems simple enough to me. I want you to get Eleanor Carlyle acquitted. From what I've heard, you're the only man who can do it.
You interest me, my friend. I think you had better tell me the exact facts of the case.
But surely you've read the newspapers?
I never go by what I read in the newspapers. Now come, Doctor, the facts.
Your solicitor's here, Miss Carlyle.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Seddon.
Hello, Eleanor. I should like to speak to my client alone, if you please.
Of course, Mr. Seddon.
I have good news for you, Miss Carlyle. Sir Edwin Bulmer has agreed to take on your case.
Bulmer? Isn't he the one they call the Forlorn Hope? Quite appropriate in my case, I should have thought. But doesn't he specialise in sob stuff about the prisoner's youth and difficult upbringing? It won't wash in my case, Mr. Seddon. I've never wanted for anything in my life.
Sir Edwin intends to put forward the argument that there was no plausible motive for killing Mary Gerard. He'll assert that the engagement between yourself and Roderick Wellman was a family affair, entered into solely to please Mrs. Wellman, and that the moment she was dead, you broke off the engagement of your own accord.
I broke it off.
Roderick Wellman has agreed to give evidence to that effect.
But it's not true. I loved him.
I think you should let Sir Edwin be the best judge of the way in which your case is handled, Eleanor.
Oh, I suppose you're right. But that day when I invited Mary Gerard and Nurse Hopkins, I felt a kind of black hatred for Mary. I'd been talking to Horlick, the gardener, and he said how they'd all hoped that Hunterby would be kept on by the family. And I thought how much Roddy and I had always loved the house, how we'd always felt sure that we would live there together someday. And now I was packing the place up to be sold to a stranger. And why? Because of Mary Gerard. And I thought, if only she never existed.
I think you should put all those thoughts out of your mind.
I wanted to put an end to her existence, Mr. Seddon. I really believe I may have done so.
By the time I got there, Mary Gerard was unconscious. I did all I could, but it was no good. The autopsy revealed that a large dose of morphine had been taken a short time previously. And the police found a torn scrap of a label with morphine hydrochlor on it, just where Eleanor Carlyle had been spreading the sandwiches.
How very convenient. Did Mary Gerard eat or drink anything else?
She and the district nurse drank tea with the sandwiches. Nurse Hopkins made it. Couldn't have been anything there. Of course, I understand the defense will make a song and dance about the sandwiches, saying that since all three ate them, it would have been impossible to ensure that only one person should be poisoned.
I'm afraid that will not help the young lady. Now, just think for a moment. You make a plate of sandwiches. In one of them is the poison. You offer the plate. In our state of civilization, it is a foregone conclusion that the person to whom the plate is offered will take the one which is nearest. I presume that Eleanor Carlyle handed the plate to Mary Gerard first?
Exactly.
Although the nurse, who was an older woman, was in the room?
Yes.
That does not look very good.
It doesn't mean a thing, really. You don't stand on ceremony when you're having a few sandwiches for lunch.
Now, was there anyone else in the house?
No one.
Oh, it is bad, that. And the dead girl had nothing but the tea and the sandwiches?
Nothing. Her stomach contents tell us that.
But why choose that particular poison? The symptoms of morphine poisoning are not in the least like those of food poisoning. Atropine surely would have been a better choice.
Yes, I suppose you're right. There's something else. Apparently, the district nurse lost a tube of morphine.
When?
Oh, weeks earlier, the night old Mrs. Wellman died. The nurse says she left her case in the hall at Hunterbury and found a tube of morphine missing in the morning.
She has only remembered it since the death of Mary Gerard?
No, as a matter of fact, she did mention it at the time, to the nurse on duty.
It gets worse and worse. The case against Eleanor Carlyle seems to be very grave indeed.
You mean you won't help me?
Have I said that I will not?
You will take the case?
Of course.
Then we should get down to Maidenford at once. Can you come today?
I think that might be managed.
We can catch a train around 12:30. I'll pick you up in a taxi in an hour's time. Monsieur Poirot, there's something else that you ought to know.
Ah, something you hesitated to tell me until I was safely inside the taxi?
Put it like that if you like. The police have applied for an exhumation order. They want to dig up old Mrs. Wellman.
Why should they wish to do that?
And when they do, they'll probably find what they're looking for. Morphine.
How do you know that?
I've suspected it for some time.
Ah, mon Dieu, I do not understand you, Doctor. You knew when she died that she had been murdered?
No, of course not. I never dreamed of such a thing. I thought she'd taken it herself.
You thought that the old lady had killed herself?
She talked about it. She asked me more than once if I couldn't put an end to the suffering she was going through.
Were you surprised by her death?
I must admit I hadn't expected it just then. I sent the nurse out of the room and made as thorough an investigation as I could. Of course, it was impossible to be sure without an autopsy. And I didn't see that it would do any good. If she had taken a shortcut, why create a scandal?
So you signed the death certificates?
I wanted her to be buried in peace. And I never dreamed for one moment of foul play. I was quite sure she'd done it herself.
But she was bedridden. How did you think she could have got hold of the morphine?
I hadn't the least idea. She was a clever, resourceful lady with remarkable determination.
Could she have got it from one of the nurses?
Good Lord, no. You obviously don't know nurses.
Well, from her family.
Possibly. She might have worked on their feelings.
Now, you said that Mrs. Wellman died intestate. If she had lived, would she have made a will?
You certainly know how to ask the right questions, Monsieur Poirot. She was anxious to make a will, got quite agitated about it. She couldn't speak intelligibly, of course, but she managed to make her wishes clear. Eleanor Carlyle was to have telephoned her lawyer first thing the following morning.
So, Eleanor Carlyle knew that her aunt wanted to make a will. And if her aunt died without making one, she would inherit everything.
But she didn't know that. She had no idea that her aunt hadn't made a will.
How can you be sure of that? That is what she says, but she may have known.
Look here, Poirot, are you the prosecuting counsel?
At the moment I am, my friend. If I am to help you, I must know the full strength of the case against Eleanor Carlyle.
Thank goodness we managed to get a compartment to ourselves.
And since we have so much to discuss, I'm sure our fellow passengers would have been fascinated. Now, let us entertain a little supposition. It is suggested that someone extracted a tube of morphine from Nurse Hopkins' case. Suppose Mary Gerard saw the person who did it.
She would have said so.
Ah, no, mon cher. Now, be reasonable. If Eleanor Carlyle or Roderick Wellman or even any of the servants were to open that case and abstract a little glass tube, what would anyone think? Well, simply that the person in question had been sent by the nurse to fetch something from it. Mm-hmm. The matter would pass straight out of Mary Gerard's mind again. But it is possible that later she might recollect the fact and might mention it casually to the person in question, all without the least suspicion in the world. But to the person guilty of the murder of Mrs. Wellman, imagine the effect of that remark. Mary must be silenced at all costs. I can assure you, my friend, that anyone who has once committed a murder finds it only too easy to commit another.
Even so, it doesn't get us any closer to the murder.
No, it does not. But since you expect me to be the conjurer, I am trying to find out what rabbits are in the hat. Now, let us go back to the death of Mary Gerard. We are sure that it was the sandwiches?
It could scarcely have been the tea. Nurse Hopkins drank it as well as Mary Gerard.
So the morphine was in the sandwiches, and no one else handled them except Eleanor Carlyle.
No. That's not quite accurate.
Huh? Not accurate?
But you said nobody but Eleanor Carlyle handled the sandwiches. You don't know that.
Well, you said there was no one else in the house.
As far as we know. But you're excluding a short period of time during which she left the house to go down to the lodge. During that time, the sandwiches were on a plate in the pantry, and somebody could have tampered with them.
Ah, you are right, my friend. I admit it. You would make a very good detective. So, we must try to form some idea of who that somebody could be and what was the motive. Tell me, did anyone other than Eleanor Carlyle stand to gain anything by Mary Gerard's death? Had she, for instance, any money to leave?
Not at the time. In another month, she would have had £2,000. Eleanor Carlyle was making that sum over to her because she believed her aunt would have wished it. But the old lady's estate isn't wound up yet.
Then we can wash out the money angle. So, let us consider other possible motives. Mary Gerard was beautiful, by all accounts. With beauty, there are always complications. She had admirers?
She may have done. I wouldn't know.
Who would know?
Nurse Hopkins would be your best bet. Ever since she came to Maidenford, she's made it her business to know everything that's going on.
Then perhaps I should start with her.
My car's at the station. I'll drive you over there when we arrive.
Another cup, Mr. Poirot?
No, thank you, nurse.
I think it's one of the most terrible things I've ever known to happen. Mary was such a lovely girl. With those looks, she could have been a film star. And she was a nice, steady girl, too, not stuck up. Though she easily could have been with all the notice taken of her.
What, you mean the notice taken of her by Mrs. Wellman?
That's just what I mean. The old lady taken a tremendous fancy to her, really tremendous.
Do you find that surprising?
Well, that depends. Might be quite natural, really. I mean, well, what I mean is, Mary had a very pretty way with her nice, soft voice and pleasant manners. And in my opinion, it does an elderly person good to have a young face about.
Miss Carlyle came down occasionally, I suppose, to see her aunt, eh?
Miss Carlyle came when it suited her.
Oh, you do not like Miss Carlyle?
Like her? How could I like her? She poisoned the poor girl.
You are quite sure it was she who administered the poison to Mary Gerard?
Well, who else could have done it? There were only the three of us there. You're not suggesting I did.
Oh, no, not for one moment. But her guilt has yet to be proved, remember.
She did it all right. Apart from anything else, you could see it in her face, the way she kept looking at Mary. And taking me upstairs and keeping me there all that while, delaying as long as possible. And then when I turned on her after finding Mary lying there like that, it was there in her face as plain as could be. She knew I knew.
It certainly is difficult to see who else could have done it. Unless, of course, she did it herself.
What, do you mean to say that Mary might have committed suicide?
One can never tell. The heart of a young girl is very sensitive, very tender. It would have been possible, I suppose. Hmm? She could have slipped something into her tea without you noticing her.
But slipped it into her cup, do you mean?
Yes. You could not have been watching her all the time.
Well, I suppose she could have done it. But why should she? What would she want to do a thing like that for?
An unhappy love affair, perhaps?
Oh, girls don't kill themselves for love affairs nowadays. Not unless they're in the family way. And Mary wasn't that, let me tell you.
And she was not in love?
Not she. Quite fancy-free.
But she was a beautiful girl. She must have had admirers.
There was Ted Bigland, of course.
Ted Bigland?
A local boy, lives on his father's farm. He was very gone on Mary. But she was a cut above him. I told her so myself.
She must have been angry when she would not have anything to do with him.
He certainly was. Blamed me for it, too. But I'd a perfect right to advise Mary. After all, I know something of the world. I didn't want her to throw herself away.
What made you take such an interest in the girl?
What? Well, oh, I don't know. There was something, well, romantic about Mary.
She was the lodgekeeper's daughter, was she not?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. At least...
Hmm? You are being very mysterious, nurse.
As a matter of fact, she wasn't old Gerard's daughter at all. He told me so himself. Her father was a gentleman.
I see. And her mother?
Her mother had been lady's maid to old Mrs. Wellman. She married Gerard after Mary was born.
As you say, most romantic. But perhaps you know who her real father was?
Well, perhaps I could make a guess. Old sins have long shadows, they say. No, but I'm not one to talk, and I shan't say another word.
There is something else I wish to ask you about, a delicate matter. But I am sure I can rely on your discretion.
I'm sure you can, Mr. Poirot.
It is about Mr. Roderick Wellman.
Oh.
He was, I have heard, attracted by Mary Gerard.
Quite bowled over.
Although at that time he was engaged to Miss Carlyle.
If you ask me, he was never really sweet on Eleanor Carlyle.
And did Mary Gerard encourage his advances?
Oh, she behaved like a lady. Nobody could say she led him on.
Was she in love with him?
No, she wasn't.
But I suppose in time something might have come of it?
It might have. But Mary wasn't one to do anything in a hurry. She told him straight out that he'd no business to speak to her like that when he was engaged to Miss Eleanor. And when he went to see her in London, she said the same.
What do you yourself feel about Mr. Roderick Wellman?
He's a nice enough young fellow. Nervy, though.
Was he very fond of his aunt?
As far as I know.
Did he sit with her much when she was so ill?
What do you mean after she'd had her second stroke?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe he even went into her room.
Really?
Mrs. Wellman never asked for him. And, of course, we'd no idea the end was so near. There are a lot of men like that, you know, can't abide to come face to face with serious illness. They can't help it.
Are you sure Mr. Wellman did not go into his aunt's room before she died?
Well, not while I was on duty. Nurse O'Brien relieved me at 3 a.m., but if she did see him go in, she never mentioned it to me.
He may have gone into her room while you were absent.
I don't leave my patients unattended, Mr. Poirot.
Oh, no, of course not, nurse. Forgive me. Ah, you have been most helpful. Now, there is nothing else you can tell me about Mary Gerard?
I don't know anything.
Are you quite sure?
You don't understand. I was fond of Mary.
How did you get on?
Miss Hopkins certainly knows more than she is prepared to tell me at present. She is holding something back. It is not necessarily an important thing. It may have no bearing on the crime. But there is something definitely damaging or detrimental to the character of Mary Gerard.
Hmm. Did you find out if there are any other boyfriends?
She mentioned a certain Ted Bigland.
Ted? He works at the garage. We might just catch him.
So you're trying to find out who really killed Mary? It's a total mystery to my mind.
You do not believe that it was Miss Carlyle who killed her, then?
Miss Ellen is a lady. She's not the kind of person you can imagine doing a thing like that. It isn't likely, is it?
It is not likely. But jealousy can make even ladies do violent things.
I don't see Miss Carlyle doing anything like that.
But Mary Gerard died, and she did not die a natural death. Now, have you any idea? Is there anything you can tell me to help me find out who killed Mary Gerard?
It doesn't seem right. It just doesn't seem possible that anyone could have killed Mary. She was like a flower.
But even so...
I know, she didn't die natural. But I've been wondering.
Yes, Mr. Bigland?
I've been wondering if it couldn't have been some kind of accident.
An accident? Ah, it is interesting that you should feel that.
I dare say it doesn't make much sense to you. It's just a feeling I've got.
Feeling is sometimes an important guide. Now, you will pardon me if I seem to tread on painful ground. But you cared very much for Mary Gerard, did you not?
Everyone round here seems to have got to know about that.
You wanted to marry her.
Yes.
But she was not willing.
I suppose people meant well, but they shouldn't muck up people's lives by interfering in them. It changed Mary. She was spoiled and bewildered. She didn't fit into any kind of world. She was too good for me, but she still wasn't good enough for a real gentleman like Mr. Wellman.
You do not like Mr. Wellman?
Why the hell should I? He's all right in his way, I suppose, but he's not what I call much of a man. I could pick him up and break him in two. He's got brains, I suppose, but that's not much help to you when your car breaks down.
Now, you were working here in the garage when this murder happened.
I was testing out a car for a gentleman. I choked somewhere, but I couldn't find it. Seems odd to think of it now. It was a lovely day. Some honeysuckle still in the hedges. Mary used to like honeysuckle. Forget what I said about Mr. Wellman. I was angry because he was always hanging around Mary. He ought to have left her alone. She wasn't his sort. Not really.
I didn't expect you'd get much out of him. One of nature's innocents, I'd have thought.
He said she was like a flower. Nurse Hopkins said she could have been a film star.
You won't find Mrs. Bishop quite so starry-eyed about her.
She was Laura Wellman's housekeeper.
She's staying at her sister's. I'll take you round there now. There's just one problem, though.
Oh, what is that?
She doesn't particularly care for foreigners.
And a foreigner I indubitably am. Tell me, who does she like?
The royal family. She's got books and books of newspaper cuttings.
Ah, by a remarkable coincidence, I was called only last month to sort out a little mystery at Sandringham.
And you actually met the little princesses, Mr. Poirot?
Oh, they were utterly charming. Oh. Immaculately well-behaved, but so full of vitality and enjoyment.
It's such a relief to see decent family values.
It is a relief, certainly. Now, tell me, Mrs. Bishop, was the engagement of Miss Carlyle and Mr. Wellman a great relief to your mistress?
It was something she'd always hoped for.
The engagement was perhaps entered into partly to please her?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Mr. Poirot. Miss Eleanor's always been devoted to Mr. Roddy and he to her.
And yet the engagement was broken off.
Owing to the machinations of a certain little snake in the grass.
Indeed.
In this country, Mr. Poirot, there's certain decency to be observed when mentioning the dead. But that young woman was underhand in everything she did.
But I had been given the impression that she was a simple, unassuming girl.
Oh, people were taken in by her, all right. My poor dear mistress above all. Mary Gerard wormed her way into her confidence, always hanging about, reading to her, bringing her little nosegays of flowers. The money she spent on that girl. Expensive school, sending her abroad. The girl nothing but old Gerard's daughter, making up to Mr. Roddy the way she did, but he was too simple to see through her.
Ah, you interest me exceedingly, Mrs. Bishop. I have at last a clear picture of Mary Gerard.
Well, I'm not saying anything against the girl. There's no doubt she caused a lot of trouble.
Where would it have ended, I wonder?
You can take it from me, Mr. Poirot, that if poor Mrs. Wellman hadn't died when she did, I don't know what might have been the end of it. That girl was making the old lady turn from her own flesh and blood.
You mean that Mrs. Wellman would have left all her money to Mary Gerard?
Wouldn't have surprised me. That's what a young woman was working up to, well, no doubt. But wickedness doesn't always flourish.
True. Mary Gerard is dead. and the circumstances of her death seem quite inexplicable.
Do you know, the police even tried to drag me into it because I said Miss Eleanor's behaviour was peculiar.
But was it not?
Because she didn't want me to go to the Orb with her. Mm. Why shouldn't she? Miss Eleanor was going to turn out her aunt's things, and that's always a painful business.
But it would have made it much easier for her if you had accompanied her.
I wanted to, Mr. Poirot, but she took me up quite sharp. She was always a very proud and reserved young lady. I wish, though, that I had gone with her.
Yes, it is sad. Ah, the things we wish we had done which haunt us after someone's death. Doubtless Mr. Roderick Wellman must blame himself for not going to see his aunt that last night, even though he could not have known she would pass away so soon.
Oh, but you're quite wrong, Mr. Poirot. I can tell you for a fact that Mr. Roddy did go to his aunt's room.
Oh?
I was just outside on the landing myself. I heard Nurse Hopkins go off downstairs, and I thought maybe I'd better make sure the mistress wasn't needing anything. You know what nurses are, always staying downstairs to gossip. Anyway, I thought I'd see everything was all right, and it was then that I saw Mr. Roddy slip into his aunt's room. Oh. I don't know whether she knew him or not, but he hasn't got anything to reproach himself with.
I booked you a room at the King's Arms, Poirot. I hope that's all right.
I fear you will have to cancel it, my friend. I am going back to London.
You're not giving up the case.
Oh, no, Dr. Lord, I am not. It is just that it is essential for me to have a little word with Mr. Roderick Wellman.
But you'll be coming back.
Oh, yes, Doctor. I shall be back.
In Part 3 of Sad Cyprus by Agatha Christie, dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell, Hercule Poirot was played by John Moffat, Eleanor Carlyle by Emma Fielding, and Dr. Lord by David McAllister. Nurse Hopkins, Pauline Letts, Mrs. Bishop, Margot Boyd, Mr. Seddon, the solicitor, John Evitts, Ted Bigland, Eamon Fleming, the wardress, Gudrun Ewer, the arresting officer, Keith Drinkle. The singer was Joanna Myers, and the pianist, Michael Haslam. Sad Cyprus was directed by Enid Williams.